Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. Mohammed Al-Qassem, bureau chief. He is in Kyiv. Bureau chief from Media Line News Agency. He has spent these last hours traveling to and from the site of the alleged atrocities, war crimes, Bucha and Irpin. But in these last hours, he's also viewed the remains of the battles over Hostomel Airport, Hostomel Airfield, which is not far from Bucha and Irpin. And according to the reporting, fog of war, this was the major target for the invading forces the 24th and 25th of February. The plan was to use Russian special forces to secure the airfield and fly in reinforcements in the presumption that the capital would fall easily. Not the case. Mohammed, a very good day to you in Kyiv. Thank you very much. You've been to Hostomel. Take us into what you saw there, what remains of the battle. Good day to you.
Good day to you too. Today, we spent our day in Hostomel and spent hours military airport, Antonov Military Airport, which was the first target by the Russian military on February 24th when they began their invasion of Ukraine. They were successful in occupying not only the airport, but also the town where the airport lies in, Hostomel, for about 40 days before they were pushed back, defeated, and they had to withdraw, pulled out from the town. Total disaster left behind. The once pride symbol of Ukraine, the mammoth Maria dream, that's the major airplane, cargo airplane that Ukrainians were very proud of, left in ruin, completely shattered into pieces. But looking and walking around the military airport, and we couldn't go into some buildings because there are still the danger of buoy traps, but we've seen several countless number of Russian vehicles that are completely burned, that were destroyed during the battle. Both sides paid a hefty price in this battle especially. But the Russians, it was obvious that they've lost a lot. One building we entered into at the airport was a building where Russian soldiers barricaded themselves in. They protected themselves with sandbags. And we were able to see some of the military gear left behind, some, you know, their hats, their military jackets, even military issued food rations still in cans, hot tea still in individual packets, pickled food still there. And everywhere we went, the letter V, which is a symbol of the Russian military, is present. They've left that symbol almost everywhere. But it was evident that a major battle took place there. And that's why we've seen this go back and forth between, you know, control of the airport between the two sides. This is for the Russians, or this was for the Russians, a strategic first day target. Hostomel is located less than an hour away northwest of the capital. And they thought by landing there, they could cut off, first of all, that part of the capital from the rest of the country, but also they believed that they could that the capital would fall immediately after. That did not happen. From the airport, and we spoke there also to some of the soldiers who told us their stories of the fight, and they admit that it was a fiercely fought battle during those almost 5 weeks since February 24th, but they eventually came on top. Today, the Ukrainian officials spent almost the entire day in the airfield, also trying to gather evidence. As we were told, of how the Russians destroyed the cargo airplane, and if there were other booby traps that they had to dismantle and neutralize. From there, we went into the town itself, and that's where we met many of the residents who are still living there, and they were going to a shelter, but also a volunteer center, where food is being provided to humans as well as animals, mainly dogs. Many of the people here do own dogs, and they haven't been able to find dog food for their animals for the last few weeks. And this is one of the items that are being presented to the residents of these towns around the capital.
Let me ask you about Hostomel. You went into the town of Hostomel next to the airport. Did you see signs of bodies in the streets or in cars fleeing the way you saw in Bucha and Irpin in the last few days?
Less cars, destroyed cars. But yes, we have seen many cars that were riddled with bullets, burned to the ground, which gives you the impression that the drivers of these cars couldn't either make it to their final destination or to wherever they were trying to go, or they had to leave their cars in a hurry. But also many of the cars in Hostomel, as well as in Bucha and Irpin, were parked, and many of them have been destroyed. One note must tell you is that these towns, they're less than an hour away from the capital, and they, looking around you in any of these three towns that we keep mentioning their names, whether it's Bucha, Irpin, or Hostomel, those have become, over the last few years, a commuter towns, and they're filled of young couples, filled of those who commute back and forth to the city, to the capital, as well as there are an explosion of new apartment complexes, residential areas, and that's where most of the damage can be seen. Many of the still under construction, newly built apartment complexes, apartment buildings are hit with the shelling, the fight back and forth, and that is evident. That can be seen. Now, speaking to the residents, the one thing that we heard more from residents of Hostomel than we've heard from Bucha and Irpin is that they've seen and heard the Russian Air Force regularly, constantly, on a regular basis, more so than we've heard it in the other towns that we visited. And I think also that's because of its proximity to the military airport.
You found the headquarters of the Russian defenders at Hostomel. You went inside the headquarters. What did you see? What did the Russians leave behind? And was it booby-trapped?
This one wasn't booby trapped. We were allowed to go into two places. We went to where they were, the Russian army set up their headquarters. One in Bucha, where the military set up its headquarters in a house on the corner. And if you remember yesterday, we were talking about the young gentleman who was looking for his grandmother.
Yes.
By the way, we met him today. He's still looking for her. He didn't find her. Across from his house, where the Russians overtook a big house, and they turned it into headquarters for them. In Hostomel, at the airport, they turned the building into their headquarters. And after we went in, we found lots of food, but we also found lots of gear, some unexploded ammunition. We found some writings in Russian. But that's pretty much what we found. Some military jackets, helmets, lots of bullets, pretty much that's what we were found in this headquarters.
Is the airfield operating? Is it cratered so that they can operate on it? What condition is it in?
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
It's ravaged. It's unoperable. There are many Ukrainian officers and Ukrainian army officials who are trying to assess the situation. They were present today. The process of removing destroyed military hardware from both sides in progress as we speak,
right,
in an attempt to try to clean up the airfields and at least even if partially use it, according to what one of the officers there told us today. But looking at it and looking at the images that we took and also walking around, it doesn't look like you can fly or land any airplanes at this moment.
You also tell me that the Ukrainians have already pushed in cleanup crews and power crews to try to restore power and the internet to this region. Is that correct?
That is correct. For the first time today, we saw power crews, especially workers for the electrical company, who are going from one area to another. Now, keep in mind, because of the intensity of the fighting, pretty much all power cables, all power lines are damaged, and many of them they're on the streets. We have to avoid them as we drive and walk around. But for the first time today, we saw several crews in Irpin, in Pucha, as well as in Hostomel, trying to fix those power lines, trying to assess the situation, evaluate what they need to bring back electricity. Some of the places we went to, they were working on generators to generate electricity to their homes or to the volunteer place that we found. Also, we found heavy machinery brought in to clean the streets, clear the wreckage, clear the tanks from the streets. And also even we've seen what looked like workers for the municipalities of Pucha as well as Irpin trying to sweep the streets, which something that you don't really see when a war is still ongoing.
I'm speaking with Mohammed Al-Qassem. He is in Kyiv now after spending the day in the conflict zone, now being attended to by Ukrainian forces of Hostomel next to Bucha and Irpin. When we come back, we're going to speak of what Mohammed has learned from his long experience covering the wars in the Middle East, Iraq, and Syria, especially in the way that the Russian army conducts itself after it has overrun civilian areas. I'm John Bashford.